Let's start with the story that, in my view, best captures the structural moment we're in with artificial intelligence and government. The Financial Times is reporting that OpenAI has formally proposed giving the US government a 5% equity stake in the company. At OpenAI's current implied valuation, roughly $851 billion following its $122 billion fundraising round, 5% would be worth approximately $42.6 billion. That's not a small token. That's larger than the GDP of several countries.
What's striking to me about the mechanics here is what OpenAI appears to want in return. This offer didn't emerge in a vacuum. It's the most concrete step in months of negotiations between Sam Altman and Trump administration officials. The implicit exchange being discussed reportedly involves regulatory latitude, preferential treatment in government AI contracts, and potentially some form of national security co-designation that would make it harder for foreign competitors to access the same markets. It's essentially a proposal to make OpenAI a quasi-national champion.
And the historical parallel I keep coming back to is DARPA-era defense contractors. Companies like Lockheed and Raytheon developed deep entanglements with the federal government, preferential contracts, clearances, co-development of capabilities, and that relationship shaped those industries for decades. What's different here is that OpenAI is proposing this proactively and doing it through an equity stake rather than a contracting relationship. The government wouldn't just be a client, it would be a shareholder with fiduciary interests in the company's success.
That creates some genuinely complicated dynamics. If the US government owns 5% of OpenAI, what happens when the FTC wants to investigate OpenAI's market practices? What happens when Congress wants to regulate AI? You've now got a financial conflict of interest built into the regulatory structure. I think this is the piece that hasn't been fully aired in public debate yet.
There's also the antitrust dimension, and this is actually a good moment to explain how that framework applies here. Under the Sherman Act, which has been federal law since 1890, it's illegal to monopolize or attempt to monopolize any part of interstate commerce. But here's what's often misunderstood. Having a large market share is not itself illegal. What matters legally is whether a company acquired or maintained that dominance through exclusionary conduct, meaning actions that harm competition rather than just outcompeting rivals on merit. A company can have 80% market share and be completely legal if it got there by making better products. The Sherman Act targets the behavior, not the size. So OpenAI having a near monopoly on certain frontier AI capabilities isn't automatically an antitrust problem. What would trigger scrutiny is if this government stake deal came with exclusive access provisions, or if it structured contracts in ways that prevented competitors from winning federal business. That's where the Sherman Act conversation gets interesting.
And the FTC angle is worth noting too. The FTC Act's Section 5 prohibits unfair methods of competition broadly. It's a wider net than Sherman. If this arrangement created a competitive moat through government preference rather than technical merit, that's exactly the kind of conduct regulators might scrutinize. Though, as you're implying, the political dynamics of the current administration make enforcement against OpenAI in this context seem unlikely.
Meanwhile, the AI infrastructure build-out around this story is staggering. SoftBank is creating a U.S. neocloud venture specifically for AI computing. This fits Masayoshi Son's long-standing thesis that the company that controls compute infrastructure controls the AI era. Abu Dhabi's MGX closed its AI fund at $49 billion, exceeding its $45 billion target and drawing global institutional investors. The UAE is very deliberately positioning itself as a neutral ground where both American and Asian AI capital can converge.
NVIDIA's move is also worth examining closely. The chipmaker is launching a revenue-sharing model where it takes a cut of cloud revenue and backstops unsold GPU capacity for smaller cloud providers, starting with partners in Australia and Indonesia. This is NVIDIA transforming from a hardware vendor into something closer to a platform business. Rather than just selling GPUs, they're now structuring deals where their financial upside is tied to whether their partners actually sell compute capacity. That alignment of incentives is a significant shift in how the chip industry monetizes its products.
and Meta entering the cloud market to sell excess Governee. AI compute is the cherry on top of this segment. Meta has invested so heavily in GPU clusters for its own AI research that it now has surplus capacity, and rather than let that sit idle, the company is planning to sell access to AI models and raw computing power. That puts Meta in direct competition with AWS, Azure, and Google Cloud, three companies that are also Meta's biggest advertising infrastructure clients. The tech industry's web of competitive and cooperative relationships is becoming extraordinarily tangled.
The U.S. export bans on AI chips to China are accelerating all of this on the other side. By restricting China's access to leading-edge NVIDIA and AMD chips, Washington has created a powerful incentive for Chinese firms to develop indigenous alternatives. SK Hynix's $64 billion chip plant announcement, made during a global tech sell-off notably, reflects the conviction that semiconductor investment is worth making, even in turbulent markets, because the strategic stakes are too high to pause.